Hello, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of Monster Blood 2 by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Hello, Nick. So, I just woke up from a nap, and I was like, I don't feel like doing this, but I realized that my girlfriend's starting to get a sore throat, and since I'm always drunk, I have no immune system, so I was like, what if I get a sore throat and start getting sick, too? Then I won't be able to do Goosebumps, and that is no good for anybody at all. All right, back to the old Monster Blood. You know, screw an intro. Went to swap me. I bought some stuff, got some old EC comics. That's fun. No? No? Oh. Alright, fine, whatever, fuck it, I don't care. Chapter number 14. We must be digging under the wrong tree, Evan said, sweat pouring down his freckled forehead. Andy pushed a wet strand of brown hair off her face with a dirt-covered finger. No way! She shook her head. This is the right tree, and the right hole. Wow, I just didn't come up with a right hole joke there. I need to keep drinking this Diet Cherry Vanilla Cream Hansen's and Kirkland brand of vodka. Because, yeah. Also, I've been getting these Kirkland, or not the Kirkland, the Hansen things sent to my house. I think the UPS guy's pissed because I'm ordering a mixer because it has free Amazon Prime shipping. So I buy cases of soda. And yesterday I heard him just drop it with, like, a huge thud. And I'm like, alright, that guy's fucking pissed. I get it. Then where is the monster blood? Evan demanded shrilly. They both came up with the answer to his question at the same time. Conan and Anon. He must have watched us bury it, Evan said, his eyes darting around the park as if he expected to see Conan jump out from behind a bush. I thought he hurried away. Awfully fast that afternoon. What the fuck just happened to me? Oh god, this is the worst beginning of a Goosebumps ever. No, we must trudge on. He knew the paper bag wasn't empty. Andy agreed. He hid and watched us bury it. Then he waited till we were gone and dug that shit right up. They both stared into the empty hole in a horrified silence. Andy broke the silence. Fart. Just kidding, he said. What is Conan going to do with it? She asked, her voice just above a whisper. Probably eat it so he can grow bigger and pound me harder? Evan replied bitterly, rubbing his sore anus. But he doesn't know what monster blood does, Andy said. He doesn't know how dangerous it is. Of course he does. I told him all about it, Evan replied. He slammed his hand against the tree trunk. We've got to get it back. Drinking break. Before science class the next afternoon, Evan found Conan in the hall. He and Biggie were standing next to Evan's locker. They were laughing loudly about something, slapping each other high fives. Conan wore a tight blue muscle shirt and baggy faded denim jeans with enormous holes at the knees. Oh, so he's like shaped like a giant bell? That's a bad look. A tight muscle shirt and baggy jeans? Baggy jeans are never going to come back in style. It's a horrible, horrible look. I'm not saying skinny jeans are great, but I'm saying jeans are just disgustingly flowy. What was that? Those look good on no one. Biggie had wavy brown hair down to his shoulders. He wore a sleeveless white t-shirt and tight-fitting black denims. They look like a couple of tag-team wrestlers, Evan thought as he stepped between them. Hey, look, it's Air Evan, Conan joked. King of the slam dunk. He and Biggie guffawed loudly. Conan gave Evan a slap on the back that sent him sprawling into Biggie. Conan, didn't you find something in the park? Evan asked, struggling to regain balance. Conan narrowed his eyes like a Filipino at Evan and didn't reply. Did you find something that belongs to Andy and me? Evan repeated. You mean like your brains? Conan exclaimed. He and his tag team partner roared with laughter over that gem. Why don't we dribble him to class? Biggie asked Conan. Coach Murphy would like to see us get in some extra practice. Conan laughed gleefully at that idea. Ha ha. Very funny. Evan said sarcastically. Look, Conan, that stuff you took, it's really dangerous. You have to give it back. Conan opened his eyes like a Scotsman in wide-eyed innocence.
I really don't know what you're talking about, Evan. Did you lose something? I know you didn't lose your virginity. Oh, up top!
Conan opened his eyes. Oh, wait, he already said that and did that and his, looked like a Scotsman.
You know I lost something, Evan replied, and I want it back.
Conan flashed a sly grin at Biggie.
Then he turned back to Evan. His expression hardened.
I don't know what you mean, Evan, he said.
Really? I don't know what you and that girl lost, but tell you what, I'm a nice guy. I'll help you look for it.
He grabbed Evan around the waist with both hands. Biggie pulled Evan's locker door open.
I'll help you look for it in your locker,
Conan said. He shoved Evan inside the locker and slammed the door shut. Evan started pounding on the metal door, shouting for help.
That text message sounds probably the girlfriend. I will get to her as soon as I finish this page. I remember, I think it was in junior high, them telling us some sort of story about how some kid was picked on forever, and then he put the guy in a locker, and then it was like a snow day, which doesn't make sense because I'm from San Diego. We only have surf up days, bruh. And somehow the dude died because they didn't go back to school, and who was at fault? And I was like, ah. Is the dick's fault who was dick to him all the time, and then, you know, now he's dead. Good riddance. And people didn't appreciate that, and I don't think that story was going anywhere, and I'm very confused and don't remember it correctly. I should just keep drinking.
Evan started pounding on the metal door, shouting for help, but the bell had rung. Evan knew the hall was empty. There was no one to hear his cries. He decided to try filling with his crotch. Just kidding, with the latch. But it was too dark to see anything, and he was so jammed in he couldn't raise his arms. Finally, two girls happened to walk by, and they pulled open the locker door. Evan came bursting out, red-faced, gasping for air. The girls' laughter followed him all the way to Mr. Murphy's class. You're late, the teacher said sternly, glancing up at the wall clock as Evan staggered in. Evan tried to explain why, but all that escaped his lips was a whistling wheeze. That's what it sounded like. It sounded exactly like that. I'm really tired of you disrupting my class, Evan, Mr. Murphy said, rubbing his nearly bald head. I'm afraid I'll be seeing you after school again. You can give Cuddles' cage a double cleaning, and while you're at it, you can scrub the chalkboards too, and clean out the test tubes too.
But Mr. Murphy, I just cleaned out my test tube while I was in the locker. Am I right, guys?
Masturbation. It's so dark, Evan whispered. It usually gets dark at night, Andy replied like a total bitch, rolling her stupid bitch eyes and her bitch head that's attached to her neck bitch bone, which is attached to her fucking spine bitch bone, which is subsequently attached to all her other fucking bitch bones.
The streetlight is out, Evan said, pointing, and there's no moon tonight. That's why it's so dark.
Hide! Andy whispered. They ducked behind the hedge as a car rolled slowly past. Evan shut his eyes as the white-headed lights moved over him. When the car turned the corner, they climbed to their feet. It was a little after 8 o'clock. They were standing in the street in front of Conan's house, leaning against the low hedge. They stared across the sloping front lawn into the large picture window in the front of the house. The lamp in the living room was lit, casting a dim rectangle of orange light that spilled onto the front yard. The old trees at the sides of the small brick house whispered in a hot breeze.
I always feel like those paragraphs are just added in later because he feels like he can, like, make himself sound bitter by just better, not bitter. I sound bitter. I'll just end it there.
Are we really doing this? Evan asked, huddling close to Andy, fly unzipped.
Are we really going to break into Conan's house?
We are not going to break in, Andy whispered. We're going to sneak in.
But what if the monster blood
isn't there? Evan asked, hoping she couldn't see into his trembling, couldn't see his knees trembling.
We have to look, don't we?
Andy shot back. She turned to study his face. He saw that she was frightened, too.
The monster blood
will be there, she told him. It's got to be.
Bending low, he started to creep across the dark yard to the house. Evan hung back. "You checked it out?" he called to her. "Everyone is really gone?" "His parents left right after dinner," Andy told him. "Then I saw Conan go out about 10 minutes ago." "Where?" Evan demanded. "How the fuck should I know?" she asked sharply, putting her hands on her waist. "He left. The house is empty." She came back and tugged Evan's arm. "Come on, let's sneak into Conan's house. Get the monster blood and get out of here." "I can't believe we're doing this," Evan said. We could be arrested." "It was your idea," Andy reminded him. "Oh, yeah, right." He took a deep breath and held it, hoping it would calm him down. "If we don't find it right away, we get out of there, right?" "Right," Andy agreed. "Now come on." She gave him a little shove toward the house. They took a few steps over the dew-wet grass. They both stopped when they heard the low barking. Andy grabbed Evan's arm. The barking grew louder. They could hear the dog's heavy paws on the ground approaching. "Franklin, quick, become a dog that moves, not one that just kind of lays watching me read Goosebumps. Go, Franklin." Fine. You know, I understand. Two angry eyes, a loud warning bark. Another. The dog attacked at full speed. "Run," Evan cried. "Conan has a guard dog." "Too late to run," Andy shrieked. Alright, I must read quickly. I've been informed that I'm going to the Dave and Buster's by my house tonight for my girlfriend's co-worker's birthday. And, I also need to take it easy on the drinking, seeing as I've been drinking since 10 in the goddamn morning, and now we're about to go out at night and go drinking, so... Oh, God, what am I doing with my life? Reading Goosebumps, that's a good answer. Yesterday, I went to Costco and had a receipt that was, like, just for liquor and a big Costco bag of cat food, and I was like, oh, this is terrible. I need to reevaluate everything I'm doing. Speaking of everything I'm doing chapter number 15. Oh, yeah. Woo! The dog barked again. Evan cried out and threw up his hands as the dog leaped for his throat. The dog wasn't as big as Evan had thought, but it was strong. It licked his face, pressing its wet snout into his cheek. It licked his chin, and then it licked his lips. "Yuck!" Evan cried, completely unlike Dune, laughing. "Trigger, how did you get here?" Evan pulled the cocker spaniel off him and lowered it to the ground, its stubby tail wagging furiously. Trigger started jumping on Andy. "Your dumb dog scared me to death," she moaned. "Me too," Evan admitted. "I didn't hear him following us, did you?" Andy squatted down and peed. Just kidding. See, it's a squatted and girls like can squat to pee. I had to stand up and pee. I just whip out my dick and... That's the sound I make when I urinate, apparently. And gave Trigger a few quick pats. Then she glanced down the street. "Let's get inside," she said. "Conan or his parents might be back any minute." Trigger pranced along as they made their way over the grass to the front yard. Their house loomed much bigger and darker as they crept onto the stoop. "Down, Trigger. Stay down," Evan whispered. "You can't come in with us." Andy tried the front door. Locked. Evan groaned. "Now what?" "We tried the back door, of course." Andy winked. Good, like butt sex. That was the joke, Gus. That's why I said wink. Andy replied. She had already jumped down off the stoop and was heading around the side of the house. "You've done this before, haven't you?" Evan demanded, and her keeping anus. "Maybe," she replied, grinning at him in the dark. A loud howl somewhere nearby made both of them stop. "What was that?" Evan cried. "A werewolf," Andy told him calmly. "Or maybe a cat, asshole." They both laughed. Nervous laughter. The back door was locked too, but the kitchen window was open a crack. Evan pushed it open wider, and they crept into the dark kitchen. Holding his breath, Evan could hear every sound. Their sneakers scraped noisily against the linoleum. The refrigerator hummed. Water swirled in the dishwasher. "I can't hear the pounding... I can hear the pounding of my heart, Evan thought. What am I doing? Have I really broken into Conan's house? Am I really going to shit on his bed and then pull the covers over it and laugh? This way, Andy whispered. His room is probably upstairs. Evan kept against the wall as he followed Andy to the front stairs. They passed the small living room bathed in orange light. The floorboards creaked under their shoes. Evan stumbled over a pile of old newspapers stacked in the narrow hallway. Up the wooden stairs, the banister squeaked under Evan's hand. A Venetian blind rattled against an open window, startling him.
Sure is dark,
Andy muttered as they reached the top of the stairs. Evan tried to reply, but his breath caught in his throat. Holding onto the wall, he followed Andy to the first bedroom. She fumbled until she found a light switch, then clicked it on. The ceiling light revealed that they had found Conan's room. They both stood in the doorway, waiting for their eyes to adjust to the light. Then they quickly glanced around. The walls of the small square room were filled with posters of sports stars. The biggest poster above Conan's bed showed Michael Jordan jumping about 10 feet in the air as he slam dunked a basketball. Yeah, Michael Jordan! Woo! Yeah, Space Jam! I almost bought a Space Jam VHS at a thrift store today, but the actual tape wasn't in the box. I'm glad I looked. However, I did buy a shirt that said 7-Eleven Franchise Owners Association of San Diego. So now people, when I go to 7-Eleven, are going to give me free Slurpees. Also, my buddy Alex got a shirt that says Elite Security, which is like the Elite Security is in every event in San Diego and have been forever. And for some reason, him and I now have matching ones in our sizes. So this will lead to good times. A bookshelf against one wall held very few books, but was loaded with sports trophies that Conan had won on various teams. Suddenly, Andy started to laugh. Evan turned to her, startled. What's so funny? She pointed to Conan's bed. Look, he still has a teddy bear. Evan turned his eyes to the bed where a forlorn-looking, nearly flat, one-eyed teddy bear rested on the pillow. Conan the Barbarian? He cried, laughing. He sleeps with a teddy bear? My girlfriend and I sleep. It's my girlfriend's, but I got it for her with a stuffed rabbit named Bunnaby. I named it Bunnaby, also with two cats and a dog. A loud creak made them cut their laughter short. They listened hard, their eyes wide with fear. Just the house, Evan whispered. Andy shivered. Enough fooling around. Let's get to the sex. Just kidding. Let's get the monster blood and get out of here. They moved into the center of the room. Where do you think he hid it? Evan asked, pulling open the closet door. He didn't, Andy replied. Huh? Evan spun around. Andy had the blue can of monster blood in her hand, grinning. She held it up to show Evan. Evan let out a surprised cry. You found it? Where? Right on this shelf, she replied, pointing. He put it next to his tennis trophies. Evan hurried over to her and took the blue can from her hand. As he held it up to examine it is not a word. Oh, God, but alcoholism is, and that's what leads to words like examinate. The lid popped off. The green monster blood began bubbling over the top of the can. It's growing fast, Evan declared. Andy stooped down and picked up the lid. She handed it to Evan. Put it back. Hurry. Evan tried pushing the lid back on and kept slipping off. Hurry, Andy urged. We've got to go. The monster blood. It's over the top, Evan cried, referencing the Sylvester Stallone movie where he's a deadbeat dad and drives around a truck all day and has an arm wrestling move called Over the Top. Shove it down, Andy instructed, pointing at her throat. Evan tried pushing the green gunk down into the can, pressing it with his palm of his hand and shit. Then he tried pushing it with three fingers. He gasped as he felt the green goo tighten around his fingers and start to pull them down. It's got me, Evan stammered. Andy's mouth dropped open. Huh? It's got my fingers, Evan cried shrilly. It won't let go. As Andy hurried to help him, they both heard the front door slam. Someone's home, Evan whispered, tugging to pull his fingers free. We're caught.
Chapter number 16.
Some people say I sound exactly like Mariah Carey. Andy froze in the center of the room, her eyes wide with horror. Evan nearly dropped the can of monster blood. The sticky green substance tightening its grip on his fingers, making loud sucking sounds. But Evan only cared about the sounds coming from downstairs.
I'm home,
he heard Conan shout.
We're home too!
It was a woman's voice, probably Conan's mother.
They're all home, Evan whispered. We're dead meat.
I'm going upstairs, Conan called to his parents like no one's ever done ever in the entire existence of words and shit. And stairs and shit. And goosebumps and shit.
Evan let out a terrified cry as he heard Conan's heavy footsteps on the stairs.
Andy, what are we gonna do?
He stammered.
The window, she replied. They both lunged toward the open window and peered out. A narrow concrete ledge stretched just beneath the window. Without hesitating, Andy raised a leg over the windowsill and climbed out onto the ledge.
Evan, hurry! She whispered, gesturing frantically.
Evan was still desperately trying to pull his fingers from the bubbling green goo. Andy reached in through the window and grabbed him by the shoulder.
Evan! He heard Conan's footsteps in the upstairs hall, just outside the bedroom. Using his free hand for support, Evan scrambled out the window and joined Andy on the narrow ledge.
Don't look down, Andy instructed in a trembling voice.
Evan didn't obey. He glanced down. The ground seemed very far below.
They each stood on the side of the window. Andy to the left, Evan to the right. Everybody say ho, ho.
They pressed their bodies against the brick wall and listened. They heard Conan step into the room.
Did he notice the light had been turned on?
No way to tell. Loud rap music suddenly jarred the silence.
Bang, bang! He was listening to Chief Keef.
Conan had turned on his boombox. He started chanting off-key along with the music.
A fart, nigga, that's a shit I don't like.
Evan pressed as tightly against the side of the house as he could.
Go back downstairs, Conan, he pleaded silently. Please go back downstairs.
How will Andy and I ever get away from here? He wondered, feeling all of his muscles tighten in panic.
Despite the hot night air, a cold chill ran down Evan's back.
He shuddered so hard he nearly toppled off the ledge.
The blue can stuck to his hand, the monster blood sucking at his fingers.
But he couldn't worry about that now. He could hear Conan moving around inside the room.
Was he dancing to the loud music?
Evan glanced across the window at Andy. Her eyes were shut, her face clenched in a tight frown, as if she were pooping.
Andy! Andy! Evan whispered.
He knew that Conan couldn't hear a whisper over the booming music.
Andy, it'll be okay. As soon as he leaves, we'll jump inside and sneak down the stairs.
Andy nodded without opening her eyes.
Did I ever tell you I'm afraid of heights?
She said, referencing the postal service.
Well, it's such great heights.
Whatever, fuck you people.
No, Evan replied.
Well,
remind me to tell you.
We'll be okay, bitch, he muttered. Clinging to the side of the house, Evan kept repeating those words to himself.
We'll be okay. We'll be okay. We'll be okay. We'll be okay.
Then Trigger started to bark. A low bark of surprise at first, and then a louder series of barks, insistent barks, excited barks.
Evan swallowed hard. He glanced down to the ground.
Trigger was peering up at him, jumping against the side of the house, as if trying to reach the ledge. The dog barked louder with each jump. Woof, 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 woof.
Trigger, no,
Evan called down at frantic whisper sound made out mouth do call now, Trigger, no.
That only made the dog bark more furiously.
Did Conan hear it? Could he hear Trigger's ferocious barks over the music?
Trigger, stop. Go home. Go home.
Suddenly, the music stopped.
Error.
Trigger's excited barks rose up even louder against the new silence.
Conan must hear them now, Evan realized. The cocker spaniel threw himself wildly against the side of the house, trying to get up to Evan and Andy despite Evan's frantic signals to be quiet. The dumb dog barked his head off. Evan's breath caught in his throat as he heard Conan is making way to his window and shit. A second later, Conan stuck his head out. "What's going on?" he shouted. Evan's knees buckled. He started to fall.
Chapter number 17.
Evan clung to the brick wall and stopped his fall. He stared at Conan's blonde hair poking out of the window. Evan was close enough to reach out and kiss him. "Shut up down there!" Conan shouted. That made Trigger bark even louder. "He's going to see us," Evan thought, trembling all over. "There's no way Conan won't see us." "Conan, come downstairs!" Mrs. Barber's voice floated up from downstairs. "Conan, come down and have your cake and ice cream. You were dying for dessert," she called. Conan's head disappeared back into the bedroom. "There's some stupid dog barking down here," he called to his mother, clinging to the side of the house, struggling to keep his quivering knees from buckling again. Evan shut his eyes and listened. He heard Conan's footsteps cross the room. The bedroom light went out. "Silence" by John Cage. "He left," Evan choked out. Andy let out a long breath. "I can't believe he didn't see us out here." Evan glanced down to the ground. Trigger had finally stopped barking, but he continued to stand there and stare up at them, his front paws against the side of the house, his stubby tail spinning like a propeller.
Imagine a dog that could fly with its tail like a propeller. That would be crazy. Propeller dog. Look, it's being a little airplane.
"Dumb dog," Evan muttered. "Let's go," Andy urged. She didn't wait for Evan. She practically did a swan dive into the house. It took Evan a few minutes to get his legs to work. Then he ducked as his head climbed through the window after Andy. Holding his breath, he led the way on a tiptoe through the bedroom. He stopped and listened. Silence. No one in the dark hallway. No one could hear. What the fuck? He could hear the barber's voices downstairs in the kitchen. He and Andy made their way to the top of the stairs. Then, holding tightly to the banister, they crept halfway down. Evan stopped to listen again. Andy bumped right into him, nearly sending him sailing down the stairs. "Shh!" she cried. They could hear Conan talking to his parents in the kitchen. He was complaining about the other guys on the basketball team. "They're all wimps," Evan heard Conan say. "Well, that'll make you look even better," Mr. Barber replied. Evan took another deep breath and held it in. Then he made his way down to the bottom of the stairs. "Almost out," he thought, his entire body shaking. "Almost out of here." He reached for the front doorknob. "Conan, go upstairs and get your math book," he heard Mr. Barber say. "I want to see the homework you had trouble with."
"Okay,"
Conan replied, his chair scraping against the floor. Andy grabbed Evan's shoulders. They stared in the frozen horror at each other, one foot away from escape, and waited to be caught.
Chapter number 18.
"Conan, don't go now. Get the book later," Mrs. Barber chimed in.
"God, R.L. Stine, that's so lazy."
Then they heard her scold Conan's father. "Let the boy have his cake and ice cream." "Fine, fine," Mr. Barber replied. "He can show me the book later." Conan's chair scraped back into place under the table. Evan didn't wait another second. He jerked open the front door, pushed open the screen door, and burst out of the house like a fucking rocket. He could hear Andy gasping as she ran behind him, and then he could hear Trigger's shrill yips as the dog followed too. Down the barber's front lawn, into the street, their sneakers slapped the pavement as they ran full speed through the darkness. They didn't stop until they reached Evan's driveway. Evan leaned against the family's mailbox and struggled to catch his breath. He raised his hand to wipe sweat off his forehead and saw the blue can stuck there.
"Help me," he pleaded, reaching out his hand to Andy.
She was breathing hard, too. Her eyes kept darting back down the street as if she expected Conan to be chasing after them. Close one, she murmured. She turned to Evan. Her eyes glowed excitedly in the light of the street lamp. That was fun. Evan did not agree. In his opinion, it was far too scary to be fun. And here he was, still stuck to the can of monster blood. He pushed his hand toward Andy. Pull it off. Give me a pull job, he told her. I think you need both hands. I can't do it. She grabbed the can in both hands. The green gunk bubbled over the sides, making loud sucking sounds. Andy tugged, then tugged harder, then spit in her hand. Then she took a deep breath, leaned back, and tugged with all her might. The monster blood finally let go of its grip on Evan's fingers. The can slid off with a loud Andy went tumbling back onto the pavement. Ow! Evan held up his three fingers and tried to examine them under the streetlight. They were all wrinkled and pruny, the way they looked when he had been swimming for an hour or two. Yuck, this stuff is gross, he cried. Andy climbed slowly to her feet. She still cradled the monster blood can in both hands. At least we got it back, she murmured. Baby got back. Yeah, now we can bury it again, Evan said, still examining his fingers and smelling them. Huh? Bury it? Andy pulled the can away as if protecting it from Evan. You heard me, Evan said firmly. It's just too dangerous to fuck with, Andy. Take it home and bury it in your backyard, okay? Andy stared down at the can. She didn't reply, but she did notice Evan staring at her can. Just kidding, I'm just being silly. Bury it, Evan repeated. Take it home and bury it. Promise? Well, Andy hesitated. Then she said, okay, promise.
Drinking bread.
Evan woke up with a bad sore throat the next morning. His mother worried that he might be coming down with the flu, so she kept him home from school. Evan spent the day reading comic books and watching MTV! It's crazy! His sore throat disappeared by mid-afternoon. He returned to school the next day, feeling refreshed and ready to see everyone. The good feeling lasted until he stepped into Mr. Murphy's science class near the end of the day. Evan had to walk past the hamster cage to get to his seat. As he neared the cage, he peered in. That's weird, he thought. Where's Cuddles? When did Mr. Murphy get a rabbit? A rabbit? He stopped and leaned closer to the cage. Familiar black eyes stared up at him. A familiar pink nose twitched at him. It was Cuddles, Evan realized. Cuddles had grown as big as a rabbit! Oh my goodness! Chapter number 19, Free Gucci. Evan leaned over the hamster cage, staring at the giant-sized Cuddles as the bell rang. He turned to see the other kids had all taken their seats. Evan, I see you're examining your victim, Mr. Murphy said from the front of the room. Evan couldn't think of a reply. Victim? Mr. Murphy angrily narrowed his beady black eyes at Evan. You've been overfeeding Cuddles, Evan. Look how fat he's become. Almost as fat as you, Evan wanted to say like a badass. Evan knew that Cuddles' weight problem wasn't his fault, and it had nothing to do with overeating. Cuddles had grown to triple hamster size because... Franklin, you ready for this? Scarlet, Yoda, you guys ready? Monster blood! Why'd I close the book for that? That's fucking irritating. When I find Andy, I'll strangle her, Evan muttered. What did you say, Evan? Mr. Murphy demanded. Evan could feel his face turning bright red like a savage. He hadn't meant to talk out loud. Nothing, he replied, totally embarrassed. He slunk to his seat. Andy has gone too far this time, he thought bitterly. She promised she'd bury the monster blood. She promised. And now she's turned Cuddles into a fat freak, and Mr. Murphy thinks it's all my fault. Please stay after school, Mr. Murphy told Evan, so we can discuss Cuddles' diet.
Evan heard some kids snickering. He knew they were laughing at him. He saw Conan and Biggie at their seats in the back. Conan was twitching his nose, puffing out his cheeks, pretending to be a fat hamster. Biggie was laughing his head off. Evan stared at the hamster all through class. Cuddles appeared to grow right before Evan's eyes. With each breath, the hamster seemed to puff wider and taller. Its black eyes were as big as marbles now. They stared back at Evan as if accusing him. When the hamster moved to its water tube, the entire cage rattled and shook. "Please don't grow any more," Evan pleaded silently, staring at the shaking cage. "Please stop right now, Cuddles, okay?" The hamster breathed noisily, wheezing gasps. Evan could hear Cuddles panting all the way across the room. The cage shook again as Cuddles turned around. Evan watched in horror as the cage nearly toppled off its table. "I'll kill Andy," Evan thought bitterly. "How could she do this to me?" When the bell rang, the other kids all gathered up their books and headed out the door. Evan stood up and walked over to Cuddles' cage. Panting loudly, Cuddles stared up at him. "He's too big to fit on his wheel," Evan realized. "If he grows any more, he'll burst out of the cage!" How much monster blood did Andy feed him? Evan wondered. He had to find out. He turned to Mr. Murphy, who was reading over some papers at his desk and eating a 6-foot party sub. "I've got to find someone," Evan called up to him. "I'll be right back." "Don't take too long," the teacher replied without looking up. Evan hurried from the room and ran into Conan. "Hey, I was looking for you," Conan said, sidestepping to the right, then to the left, clearly doing the time warp, and stretching out both arms to keep Evan from getting away. "No time now," Evan said sharply, but Conan wouldn't let him pass, like Gandalf to a Balrog. "I'm kind of in a hurry," Evan told him. "I don't have time to be stuffed into my locker right now." A big grin crossed Conan's handsome face. "Hey, I'm sorry about that," he said, his blue eyes twinkling. "Huh? You're sorry?" Evan's mouth dropped open in shock. "Yeah, no hard feelings," Conan said in a new voice, lowering his eyes. "Shake?" "Aw, fucking Evan, are you really going to shake his hand again?" "Ah, even I remember that's bullshit." Evan stuck out his hand, then remembered Conan's crushing handshake. He tried to pull back his hand. Too late. Conan gripped it tightly and began to squeeze. As he squeezed Evan's hand, his grin grew wider and wider. Down the hall, Evan saw Andy heading out the door. He tried to call to her, but all that came out of his mouth was a squeak of pain. That was my squeak of pain sound. Andy disappeared out the front door of the school. The bones in Evan's hand cracked and crunched. When Conan finally let go, the hand looked like a sad lump of soft red clay. "Wow, that's some handshake you got," Conan cried, laughing. He pretended his hand hurt. He shook it hard and blew on it. "You killed me that time. You been working out or something?" Conan headed off to the basketball practice, laughing and shaking his hand. "He really cracks himself up," Evan thought. An angry cry burst from his throat. He slammed his good hand into a locker. He was furious. Fast and furious. He thought he could feel steam pouring out of his ears, but that's probably not something that happened, because that's not even possible. "Evan, you're keeping me waiting," Mr. Murphy called in a sing-song from the classroom. "Coming," Evan muttered miserably, and slunk back into the room. There's a drinking pause here, but I'm not going to do it. He tried calling Andy for hours that night, but there was no one home. In his sleep, he dreamed that Trigger ate a big glob of monster blood and grew to the size of a giant fucking dog and shit. Evan tried to stop him, but the enormous dog took off after the mailman. It wasn't much of a chase. Trigger caught the mailman easily. The mailman was the size of a hamster. Evan woke up drenched with sweat. He glanced at his bedroom clock and shit. Only 6 in the morning. He normally didn't get up till 7. He climbed out of bed anyway, feeling shaky and scared. He decided he had to get to school before everything goes. Alright, maybe I did need to take that drinking break. It's funny that I don't drink for a second, then my fucking brain goes to shit. Uh-oh. Liver, be a surrogate for my brain. Brain, get your shit together.
He decided he had to get to school before everyone else. He had to see if Cuddles had grown any bigger.
Evan, where are you going?
His mother called sharply as Evan headed out the front door.
School?
Evan replied. He had hoped to sneak out before she woke up.
So early?
She padded into the room, struggling with the belt to her blue cotton robe. Well, I have a science project I need to work on, Evan told her. It was almost the truth.
A science project?
She eyed him suspiciously.
Yeah, it's big,
Evan replied.
Wink, thinking quickly. It's really big, so I couldn't bring it home.
You're going without any breakfast?
Mrs. Ross demanded, yawning. I'll grab something at school, he said.
Later, Mom.
He disappeared out the door before she could ask any more questions. A red sun was just climbing over the trees in the gray sky. Legolas pointed out that there was bloodshed the night before. The air still carried the chill of the night. The lawns Evan passed shimmered wetly with morning dew. He jogged the whole way, his backpack flip-flopping on his shoulder. There were no other kids on the playground or walk. There's no kids around that fucking place. He crept into the school and made his way down the silent, empty hall. His sneakers echoed loudly as he trotted toward the science classroom. Maybe Cuddles didn't grow overnight, Evan told himself. Maybe he hadn't grown at all. Maybe he shrank. Maybe he shrank back to his old size. It was possible. It was possible that Andy had fed the monster...
Brain, let's work. Alcohol.
It was possible that Andy had fed the monster only a teeny tiny speck of monster blood, just enough for Cuddles to swell up to the size of a fat rabbit, then shrink right back down to cute cuddly hamster size. It was possible, wasn't it? Yes, yes! Evan crossed his fingers on both hands. He wished he could cross his toes. By the time he reached the classroom, he was breathless. His heart thudded loudly in his chest. He hesitated at the door. Please, Cuddles, be small. Be small. Then Evan took a deep breath, held it, and stepped inside.
Chapter number 20, yeah.
Evan stepped into the room, staring at the cage against the far wall. At first, he didn't see Cuddles. Had Cuddles shrunk? Had he? Sometimes prayers are answered, Evan told himself.
Dune doesn't believe that, and then he gets bummed out because he believes nothing in this world, and he's emotionally bankrupt.
Sometimes good things happen.
I believe that.
Evan took a few hesitant steps closer, then a few more steps. Every muscle in his body had tensed, even his butthole muscle, especially his butthole muscle. He was so frightened, it was actually hard to walk. He could feel the blood throbbing at his temples. He mopped the cold beads of sweat off his forehead. He still couldn't see Cuddles. Where was he? Where? Gray morning light filtered in through the windows. The floor creaked under Evan's sneakers. Evan took another hesitant step toward the cage. Dune got a text. Another step. Then he cried out in horror. Evan hadn't seen Cuddles at first because Cuddles was too big. Cuddles filled the entire cage like in the cover of the book. Evan held back, gaping in disbelief. The hamster groaned noisily with every loud breath. It let out several disgusting grunts as its body pressed against the wire cage. Its big, furry head pushed against the top of its cage. Evan could see one enormous black eye the size of a jar lid staring out at him.
No,
Evan cried out loud, feeling his knees begin to tremble. This is impossible! The hamster uttered a few more low grunts. The cage shook on the table. The big black eye glared out at Evan. Like Sauron.
Lots of Lord of the Rings references. And then, as Evan stared in horrified disbelief, the hamster reached up its two pink paws. The toes slipped around the wires of the cage. Cuddles let out an ugly groan. Evan saw its spongy pink nose twitch. He saw a big flash of white teeth. Another groan. The two front paws pushed against the cage. The wires bent away. Cuddles grunted again, wheezing loudly, excitedly. He pushed the cage wires aside. Then he started to squeeze his big, fur-covered body through the opening. What do I do? Evan frantically asked himself. What do I do now? Cuddles is escaping!
Alright, the text was from my boss, who wanted something that required calling numerous places and emailing and a bunch of stuff. And I couldn't just be like, look, dude, it's Sunday, and I'm shit-ripped and trying to read children's books to strangers on the internet while making dick jokes. Obviously, I'm busy right now. Because, you know. What the fuck am I doing with my life?
Chapter number 21. So what did you do? Andy asked. They were sitting together in the tall grass of the tiny park watching the brown creek trickle past. The late afternoon sun felt warm on their backs. Crickets chirped in the trees behind them. Three boys rolled past on bikes on the other side of the creek, heading home from school. One of them waved to Evan. He didn't wave back. Prick. Andy wore a bright red sleeveless t-shirt over white denim jeans. She had slipped off her yellow sneakers and was digging her bare feet into the soft ground. So what do? She repeated. Evan picked up a hard clump of dirt and tossed it into the creek. Then he leaned back, his hands planted firmly behind him on the ground. I got a dog leash, he told Andy, in the supply closet. Who has dog leashes in the supply closet in elementary school? Andy's eyes widened in surprise. Murphy keeps a dog leash? What for? Oh, apparently I wasn't the only one asking that question. Evan shrugs. He has all kinds of junk back there. R.L. Stine explained very lazily. So you put the leash on Cuddles?
Yeah, Evan told her. He was just the right size. As big as a dog, maybe a little bigger.
As big as Trigger? Andy demanded. Evan nodded. Then I tied the other end to the leg of Murphy's desk, and I ran out of that bitch as fast as I could. Andy laughed, but she cut it short when she caught Evan's angry glare.
What happened when you went to science class? She asked, turning back to the creek.
I didn't, Evan muttered.
Huh?
I didn't go, Evan said softly. I was afraid to go. I didn't want Murphy to start blaming me in front of everyone.
So you cut class?
Andy asked, startled. Evan nodded.
So what did you do? Andy asked. She pulled up a handful of tall grass and let it sift through her fingers.
I sneaked out and came here, Evan replied, frowning.
Everyone was talking about Cuddles all day, Andy reported. Her dark eyes flashed. She couldn't keep an amused grin on her face.
Everyone had to go in and see him. The stupid hamster practically caused a riot.
It isn't funny, Evan murmured.
It's kind of funny, Andy insisted. Mr. Murphy was bragging that Cuddles could beat up any other hamster in the country. He said he was going to try to get Cuddles on TV.
Huh? Evan jumped to his feet.
You mean Mr. Murphy wasn't upset?
I heard that he was at first, Andy replied. But then I guess he got used to Cuddles being so big, and he was acting kind of proud, you know, like
he had the biggest pumpkin at the fair or something like that.
A blue ribbon winner? Andy snickered. Evan kicked at the grass.
I know he's going to blame me. I know it.
Everyone was feeding Cuddles carrots all day, Andy said, not seeming to hear Evan's unhappy wails. The hamster ate the carrots whole.
One big chomp.
Then it made this really gross swallowing sound.
It was a riot.
I've gone this whole page so far without making a comment. It's like speaking to my boss and stuff sobers me up right away. It's kind of a bummer. It ruined my goosebumpsy mood. Sorry, I had a fucking meeting scheduled for work, and because of some other stuff, I couldn't make it. And then someone, I guess, contacted my boss, and they're like, why didn't he make his meeting? And now I had to forward the boss emails and talk to other people and be like, look, I told him I couldn't make the meeting.
I can't believe this, Evan groaned. He lowered his eyes angrily to Andy. Why did you do it? Why?
Andy gazed up at him innocently.
I wanted to give you a laugh, she replied.
Huh? A laugh? He snickered. Are you having a laugh?
You were looking pretty down. I thought it might cheer you up. Evan let out an angry cry. I guess it didn't cheer you up? Andy muttered. She pulled up another handful of grass and let the blades of it fall on the legs of her white jeans like Andrew W.K. Evan stomped over to the edge of the creek. He kicked a rock into the water. Come on, Evan, Andy called. You have to admit it's a little funny. He spun around to face her. It's not, he insisted. Not funny at all. What if Cuddles just keeps growing and growing? Then what?
We could put a saddle on his back and give everyone hamster rides. She giggled.
Just Evan. Specifically only Evan. Anyway, Evan did scowl and kicked another rock into the creek. You know how dangerous that monster blood is, he scolded.
What are we going to do? How are we going to get Cuddles back to the hamster size?
Andy shrugged. She pulled up another handful of grass. The sun sank lower behind the trees. A shadow rolled over them. Two little kids chased a white and red soccer ball on the other side of the creek. Their mother shouted to them to not get wet.
Where's the monster blood can?
Evan demanded, standing over Andy.
Maybe it tells the antidote on the can. Maybe it tells how to reverse the whole goddamn thing.
Andy shook her head.
Evan, you know it doesn't say anything on the can. No instructions, no ingredients, no nothing.
She climbed to her feet and brushed off the legs of her jeans.
I've got to
get home. My aunt doesn't know where I am. She's probably having a cow. Oh, no. Evan followed her toward the street, shaking his head.
How big? He muttered.
She glanced back at him.
What did you say?
How big will Cuddles be tomorrow? Evan asked in a trembling voice.
How big?
Chapter number 22.
Andy, will you hurry up?
Evan had agreed to meet Andy at her aunt's house the next morning so they could go to school early. But Andy had found a spot on her jeans and had gone back up to her room to change. And now they were no longer early.
Sorry, she said, hurtling down the stairs two steps at a time. She had changed her entire outfit. Now she had on a red and black striped vest over a yellow t-shirt pulled down over pale blue shorts.
Didn't you leave out a color? Evan demanded sarcastically, grabbing Andy's backpack for her and hurrying to the front door. She made a face at him.
I like bright colors. It suits my personality.
Your personality is light, he declared. What a douche. She followed him out the door and down the front lawn to the sidewalk.
At least I have a personality, she cried. What's your hurry anyway, douchefag?
Evan didn't answer. He adjusted his backpack on his shoulder, then began running toward the school.
Hey, wait up, Andy called, running after him.
How much monster blood
did you give Cuddles anyway?
Evan demanded without slowing his pace.
The whole can?
No way, Jose,
Andy called breathlessly.
Just a spoonful.
He seemed to like it.
I guess he liked being as big as a dog, too,
Evan said, turning the corner. The tall red brick school building came into view.
Maybe he's back to normal today, Andy said.
But as they came near the building, it was easy to tell that things were not normal.
Maybe they accidentally went to Wayside School. You know, because that... Fuck it.
Evan heard a loud crash from the side of the building. It sounded like glass shattering. Then he heard excited shouts, loud kids' voices filled with alarm.
What is going on? Andy cried.
They dove up the stairs and burst into the building, running full speed. They turned the corner and made their way to the science classroom. Evan reached it a few steps ahead of Andy. Hearing excited shouts and cries, he lurched into the room and then stopped with a startled cry.
No! Oh, please! Fuck! No! God damn, no!
Stand back, everyone! Everyone, stand back! A red-faced Mr. Murphy was screaming. Cuddles uttered a loud grunt and flailed his giant legs wildly in the air.
He's 10 feet tall!
Evan heard Andy scream at his side.
Oh,
Almost, Evan stammered. The grunting, groaning hamster towered over Mr. Murphy. Its pink paws batted the air, its monstrous mouth open wide, revealing two enormous, sharp, white teeth. Back, everyone, back! Mr. Murphy shrieked. The terrified kids in the classroom pressed back against the walls. Mr. Murphy picked up a wooden chair in one hand, the torn dog leash in the other. Holding the chair by the back, he came at the grunting, moaning monster like a lion tamer. Down, Cuddles, get down. Sit.
See, Franklin, when I yell sit, it's part of the book. I'm not telling you to sit. You're already laying down. Would you like me to turn on your electric blanket? It's a little cold. I will. Hold up.
Listeners, I'm going over to Mr. Franklin. He has an electric blanket while I do not, which says a lot about my relationship with my dog.
And I've turned it up to a medium setting, which he seems to like. He poked the wooden chair up at the giant hamster and snapped the dog leash like a whip. Cuddle's watery black eyes, as big as soccer balls, glared down at the red-faced teacher. The hamster didn't seem terribly impressed with Mr. Murphy's lion tamer act. Down, Cuddles, get down! The teacher's chins quivered, and his big belly bounced up and down beneath his tight gray knit polo shirt. Cuddles pulled back his huge lips and bared his white teeth. He let out a growl that made the light fixture shake. Growl. Terrified cries rang out through the room. Evan glanced back to see a horrified crowd of teachers and students jammed in the doorway. Down, Cuddles! Mr. Murphy shoved the wooden chair up at the raging hamster. He cracked the dog leash whip near the hamster's throbbing fur-covered belly. The huge black eyes stared down angrily at Mr. Murphy. The pink hamster paws clawed in the air. Andy grabbed Evan's shoulder and held tight. This is terrible! She cried, terrible! Evan started to reply, but frightened shrieks drowned out his words. Cuddles grabbed the chair with both paws. Drop! Drop! Mr. Murphy screamed. He struggled to hold on to the chair. Cuddles pulled the chair. Mr. Murphy desperately held tight. He let out the leash. Sorry, I was thrown off by desperately because it was split up between two lines. And fucked with my momentum. He let the leash fall so he could hold onto the chair with both hands. The teacher and Cuddles had a short tug of war. Cuddles won easily. The hamster pulled the chair up, nearly jerking Mr. Murphy's arm out of their sockets. With a loud groan, the teacher toppled heavily to the floor. Kids screamed. Two teachers rushed forward to help the gasping Mr. Murphy to his feet. Evan stared up at the hamster, raised the wood's chair and shit to... Fuck! Words! Alright, I'm gonna just down the rest of this booze. Evan stared up as the hamster raised the wooden chair to its mouth. The enormous white teeth opened quickly. The pink nose twitched. The watery black eyes blinked. Then, Cuddles chewed the wooden chair to pieces. Splinters rained down on the floor. The chomping teeth sounded like lumberjack's axe biting into a tree. Evan froze in horror with everyone else in the room. Andy was squeezing his shoulder so hard it hurt. This is our fault, she murmured. Our fault? Evan cried. Our fault? She ignored his sarcasm. He saw the fear in her eyes as she stared up at the hamster. Cuddles had turned the chair into toothpicks. We've got to do something, Evan, she whispered, huddled close to him. But what? Evan replied in a trembling voice. What can we do? Then suddenly, he had an idea. If you'd like to know what his idea was, keep listening, jerk.
Chapter 23.
Come with me, Evan cried, tugging Andy's arm. She hesitated, staring up at the giant hamster. Where? I have an idea, Evan told her, but we have to hurry. Cuddles lumbered over to Mr. Murphy's desk. The hamster's heavy footsteps made the floor sag.
Here, fella. Here. Mr. Murphy was tossing handfuls of sunflower seeds up to Cuddles, as if he was Mulder, am I right? Cuddles glared down at him. The seeds were too small to bother with. "Hurry," Evan pleaded. He pulled Andy through the frightened crowd of kids and teachers at the door. Then he began running full speed towards the auditorium.
You better look out for the phantom of the auditorium, right? You can hear that on Dune Reads Goosebumps.
"We can't just run away. We have to do something," Andy cried. "We're not running away," Evan called back to her, turning a corner. "My father's sculpture. It's in the auditorium." "Huh?" Andy's eyes narrowed in confusion. "Evan, have you totally fucking lost it? What do you want to look at your father's sculpture for now?" He burst through the auditorium doors and ran past the dark rows of seats towards the stage. Several pieces of the sculpture had been set up there. "Evan, I don't get it," Andy cried, right behind him. "Look," Evan said breathlessly. He pointed to his father's work near the back of the stage. "My dad's sculpture. It's like a hamster wheel. See?" Her mouth dropped open as she saw it. Apparently this is something that happened in part one that I completely forgot about. "It's a big metal wheel and it spins," Evan explained, as they pulled themselves up onto the stage. "Come on, help me drag it back to Murphy's room. It's big enough for Cuddles." "Whoa," Andy cried. "You want to bring Cuddles a wheel? What for?" "To distract him," Evan replied, grabbing one side of the big sculpture. "If we can get Cuddles running in this wheel, it will give us time to figure out where to keep him, and it will stop him from chewing the whole school to pieces." Andy grabbed hold of the other side, one hand on the wheel and one hand on the platform. "Maybe Cuddles will run so hard he'll lose weight. Maybe he'll shrink back to his normal size," she said. Luckily, the platform was on wheels. They rolled the sculpture towards the stage door at the side. "I just want to distract him," Evan said, tugging hard. "I just want to give us time to think, to make a plan." "Wow, this is heavy," Andy cried, not helping the situation at all like a bitch. They rolled into the hall. "Heavy enough for Cuddles, I guess. I hope," Evan replied solemnly. By the time they... Goddamn, I've had to sneeze for like two paragraphs. One more? No? Oh god, this is miserable and not entertaining for anyone. We're good. "I hope so," Evan replied solemnly. By the time they rolled the sculpture to the classroom, the crowd of frightened kids and teachers had grown even bigger. "Make way! Make way!" they both shouted, pushing their way through the crowd. They sat the wheel down in the center of the floor and gazed over at Cuddles. The hamster had two teachers' corners, their backs pressed against the chalkboard. It was gnashing its huge teeth at them, slapping its pink paws together, as if eager to fight them. Evan gasped when he saw Mr. Murphy's desk crushed flat on the floor. I called the police," Mr. Murphy cried, his face beaded with large drops of sweat, as per usual, because that guy was fat as fuck. "I begged them to come, but when I said it was a giant hamster, they didn't believe me. They thought it was a practical joke. Stand back, everyone," Evan cried shrilly. "Stand back, please. Let Cuddles see the wheel." The giant hamster turned suddenly. The two teachers scrambled away from the wall. Kids and teachers screamed and hurried towards the door. "Maybe he'll run on the wheel for a while," Andy explained to Mr. Murphy. "Then we can figure out what to do with him." He sees it," Mr. Murphy cried breathlessly, all of his chins quivering at once. Wow, R.L. Stine really doesn't like that view. Scuttles stared down at the wheel. His stub of a tail thudded loudly against the chalkboard. He dropped heavily to all fours and fours. Not, he was on all the fours, but there's only one four generally. Unless it's a two-story building, there's a 2-4. But point is, he was on all fours, and that was all his legs, and took a lumbering step toward the wheel. "He sees it. He's going to it," Evan murmured softly. A hush fell over the room as everyone stared at the hamster. "Will Cuddles climb inside?" everyone wondered, holding his breath. "Will he run on the wheel? Will my plan work?"
Chapter number 24. Yeah. Chapter 24. The hamster sniffed the wheel. Its pink nose twitched. It uttered a low grunt. Then it raised itself back onto its hind legs. The hamster's massive shadow fell over the room with another disgusting grunt. It picked the sculpture up in its front paws and raised it to its face. God damn it! Evan cried. Cuddles, no! The metal clanged as Cuddles bit into the wheel. Evan saw deep tooth marks in the aluminum.
Isn't it weird how, like, British people call aluminum aluminium? Because fuck that.
Cuddles bit down again. Then, seeing that he couldn't chew the whole wheel, he pulled it apart, holding the sculpture in his paws and twisting it furiously with his teeth. Then, he tossed the mangled wheel away. It slammed into a window, shattering into a thousand pieces.
Back to the drawing board, Andy muttered to Evan.
Evan shook his head glumly.
No, plan was a bust, he told himself. Now what?
He didn't have time to think about that shit. He heard shrill cries and shrieks of terror. Put him down, Cuddles, put him down, Mr. Murphy screamed. Evan turned and saw that the giant hamster had picked up a kid.
Conan!
Fuck that kid. Cuddles held Conan in both paws and was raising him towards his gaping mouth. Drop!
Drop, Mr. Murphy was shouting.
Conan thrashed his arms and legs. Help me! Oh, help me! He shrieked. He started to cry. Gasping sobs, tears rolled down his stupid, beautiful cheeks.
Help! Mommy! Mommy! Help me!
He screamed like no one ever has. Normally, Evan would have enjoyed watching Conan cry like a bitch, but this was too serious. Cuddles could chew Conan in half, Evan realized. He grabbed Andy.
Where's the monster blood?
Huh? In my locker. I hid it under a bunch of stuff in my locker. Why? I need it. Evan said, come on, I have another idea.
I hope it's better than the last one, Andy muttered.
They hurried to the door, then glanced back. Glanced back at Lance Bass. Cuddles was playing with Conan, tossing him from paw to paw, licking him with his huge pink tongue. Conan was wailing his head off. Evan led the way to Andy's locker.
I'm gonna eat some monster blood, he told her.
Thinking out loud, I'll eat a lot. I'll grow bigger than Cuddles.
I get it, Andy said, running beside them. You'll turn yourself into a giant. You'll make yourself as big as Cuddles.
No, Evan replied. Bigger. Much bigger. I'll make myself so big that Cuddles will look like a hamster. Again, like that size and shit. Then I'll stuff him in the supply closet and lock the door.
It's a stupid plan, Andy said.
I know, Evan agreed, but it's worth a try. Evan swallowed hard and didn't reply. He was staring across the hall at Andy's locker.
Oh, no, Andy cried out when she saw what Evan was gaping at.
The locker door bulged as if it were about to burst open, and green goo poured out from the sides and the bottom, much like that gack stuff we used to buy as kids made by Nickelodeon, where we'd push into it and it would fart. Farts are funny.
The monster blood!
It outgrew my locker! Andy cried. Evan ran up to it and grabbed the door handle. He started to tug.
Is it locked?
No, Andy replied back. Replied, hanging back. Evan tugged. He tugged harder. With a loud groan, he tugged with both hands.
It won't open, he cried.
Let me try it, Andy said. But before she could step forward, the locker door burst open with a loud whoosh.
There it is.
Sticky green gunk splashed over Evan. He didn't have a chance to cry out. It poured over him like a tall, cresting ocean wave. An ocean wave of...
What is it, Franklin? Franklin, what is it?
I'll tell you what it is.
Monster blood!
It's burying me, Evan realized. The huge sticky glob splashed out of the locker, plopped over him, smothering him, choking him like the great molasses flood. It's sucking me in. I can't move. I can't move.
I just made another cocktail because,
I know, it's like, I need to not drink because I'm going out in 2 hours to drink, but I need to record Goosebumps, and I keep tripping up on words, and it's not going well.
Chapter number 25! Evan shut his eyes as the heavy green gunk rolled over his head. He shot his arms out, trying to push it away. As it swept over him, he fell to his knees.
Kicking and thrashing, it forced him down to the floor. I'm stuck inside, he thought. Stuck inside. He felt hands grab his ankles. The hands tugged hard. He began to slide over the floor, over the thick layer of monster blood. I've got you, he heard Andy cry. I've got you. Out. He opened his eyes. He saw her pulling him, tugging him out of the thick green gunk by the ankles. It clung to his clothes and skin, but he was out. Thanks, he murmured weakly. He climbed shakily to his feet. He could hear Conan screaming and crying back in the classroom. There was still time to save him, Evan realized. He pulled a hunk of monster blood off the quivering green mound and jammed it into his mouth. I'm gonna be sick, Andy groaned, holding her stomach. It's like Popeye and spinach. The monster blood are like me and alcohol. By the way, I got a couple messages from someone that listens to Goosebumps. They're like, hey, I enjoy Goosebumps. Thanks for making it. It's really good. And I'm like, yeah, no problem. I make it and it's enjoyable. And then she's like, and I had to stop listening because your alcoholism's not good for me because I'm in recovery. Your reading Goosebumps is somehow a trigger because you have a overwhelming problem with alcohol. Evan swallowed and reached for another mouthful. It doesn't taste bad, he told her. A little lemony. Don't eat too much, she cried, half covering her eyes as she watched him swallow another mouthful. I have to grow big enough so that Cuddles is hamster size compared to me, Evan said. He grabbed another hunk. He could already feel himself starting to grow. His head was already over the tops of the lockers. Back in the classroom, Conan let out another terrified wail. Let's go, Evan boomed. His voice thundered deeply in his new, larger body. He could feel himself growing taller, taller. He had to lower his head to get through the classroom door. Kids and teachers moved out of his way, crying out in surprise and alarm. He crossed the room, past Mr. Murphy, and stepped up to the giant hamster.
I'm as big as you, Cuddles, Evan called down to Andy.
Sorry, I'm as big as Cuddles, Evan called down to Andy.
He reached out and lifted Conan from Cuddles' paws. Cuddles reached out to take Conan back, but Evan lowered him gently to the floor.
Help me! Help me!
Conan ran, bawling from the room. Evan turned to face the hamster. They stared at each other eye to eye. Cuddles' huge pink nose twitched. He sniffed Evan, inhaling so hard that Evan was nearly sucked forward. Evan took a step back. Keep growing, he urged himself. I've got to keep growing. Cuddles eyed him warily, still sniffling. His watery black eyes stared hard, as if trying to figure out if Evan was friend or foe. Don't you remember me?
Don't you remember me, Cuddles? Evan said softly. Remember, I'm the one who fed you after school every day.
Keep growing, he silently urged himself. Why aren't I growing any taller? Down below, he could see Andy, Mr. Murphy, and the others huddled against the far wall, staring up at the two giants in hushed terror. Keep growing. Keep growing. There was no way he could pick Cuddles up now, Evan realized. They were exactly the same height, and Cuddles outweighed him by at least a ton. Keep growing.
What's wrong, Andy?
Evan called down to her in a trembling voice.
I ate tons of this stuff. Why did I stop growing?
I don't know, she called up to him. Her voice sounded as tiny as a mouse's squeak. He saw that she had the blue can in her hand. She was turning it over, reading the label. I don't know, Evan, she shouted. I don't know why you're not growing. Then, as Evan turned back to face Cuddles, the hamster reached out and grabbed his waist with both front paws.
Ow!
Evan cried out as the hamster tried to lift him off the floor. Gazing up, he saw the gaping hamster mouth open. The sharp white teeth emerge. Evan squirmed desperately, pulling himself loose. Then he wrapped both arms around the hamster's middle. They started to wrestle. Evan fought hard, but the hamster overpowered him. Cuddles rolled Evan onto his back on the floor. Evan spun quickly, climbed to his feet, and pulled the hamster down. Wow, it's like Kaiju Big Battle. The two giants wrestled over the floor, surrounded by the shrill screams of teachers and kids. Grow bigger now! Evan pleaded, but it was too late, he saw. The hamster lowered its hot, furry body over him. Evan could feel the creature's booming heartbeat as it pressed him to the floor. Then, its teeth rose up over Evan's head. The hamster's mouth wide open, the teeth swung down. A wave of hot, sour hamster breath blew down over Evan. He shut his eyes. "Sorry," he murmured to Andy. He held his breath and waited for the teeth to clamp down.
Jeff! Chapter number 26.
Evan heard a pop that sounded like a cork flying off a bottle. Still sprawled on his back on the floor, Evan opened his eyes. Huh? Cuddles had disappeared, vanished. Evan stared up at the startled faces of kids and teachers against the wall.
Where's Cuddles? He stammered.
Andy stood frozen like a statue, or like the weeping angels from Doctor Who, her mouth open. Evan slowly realized that she was nearly as big as he was. In fact, everyone was about his size. He pulled himself up to a sitting position.
Hey, I'm back to my normal size.
Oh, wait, sorry. Hey, I'm back to my normal size, he cried.
He shook his head hard, as if trying to shake away his close call with the giant hamster.
There's Cuddles, Andy cried, pointing. Evan turned to see Cuddles huddled against the wall.
He's a little hamster again, Evan exclaimed happily. He took three quick steps, bent down, and grabbed Cuddles between his hands.
Gotcha!
Holding the hamster in front of him, he turned back to Andy and the others.
What happened? Why did we shrink back?
Andy was studying the blue monster blood can.
Suddenly, she tossed back her dark hair. Her brown eyes lit up and started to laugh.
It's the expiration date, she cried happily. The expiration date on the can, it's today.
The monster blood stopped working today. The magic has worn out.
What the fuck? Fucking, I hate Goosebumps.
Sometimes I'm like, you know what? I've done so much Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm going to get a Goosebumps tattoo. Actually, I was thinking about getting like a knuckle tattoo, but my toes and write goose and bumps on each of my feet. But what the fuck? This shit is so stupid. Oh my god. Anyway, I'm going to read on. It's fucking insane.
Evan let out a whoop of joy. Mr. Murphy, a wide grin on his round face, hurried over and put his arm around Evan's shoulders.
Fine job, Evan. Fine job, he exclaimed. You saved the school. I'm proud of you.
Thanks, Mr. Murphy, Evan replied awkwardly.
You'll never make a basketball player now that you're short again, Mr. Murphy said, smiling. But that was quite a good match with Cuddles. Have you ever thought about trying out for the wrestling team?
Vodka.
Andy came to Evan's house for dinner that night. He greeted her at the door, eager to tell her how all the kids had apologized for not believing him about the monster blood. But before he could say anything, she held up a large brown envelope and grinned at him.
What's that? He asked, following her into the living room.
It's a present my parents sent me from Europe, she replied, her grin growing wider.
You won't believe what it is.
She started to pull open the envelope, but the front doorbell rang.
Is there a back doorbell? I think it's just the doorbell, asshole.
Evan hurried to see who it was.
Mr. Murphy, he cried in surprise.
Hi, Evan, the teacher said, his round body nearly filling the entire front stoop.
Hope I'm not interrupting your dinner.
No, Evan replied. Want to come in?
No, thanks, Mr. Murphy replied.
His expression turned solemn. I came by because I thought you should have some sort of reward, Evan. You were a real hero at school today.
Not really, Evan said awkwardly.
He could feel his face growing hot and knew he was blushing.
What kind of reward? It isn't like the kind of reward you've given to other kids and that you're now on the Megan's Law website, is it?
Evan wondered, staring back at the teacher.
A cash reward?
Mr. Murphy raised the hamster cage into Evan's view. I've decided to reward you with Cuddles, the teacher said. I know how fond of him you are.
No, please! Evan started to plead.
It's a small token, Mr. Murphy said, to show you how grateful I am, how grateful we all are. Please,
no.
But before Evan realized it, the hamster cage was in his hand, and Mr. Murphy was waddling back down the driveway to his car. "He gave you cuddles?" Andy asked, as Evan returned to the living room, carrying the cage. He set it down on the coffee table. "It's my reward," Evan told her, rolling his eyes. "Do you believe this shit?" "Well, you won't believe this," Andy declared. "Look what my parents found in Europe." She reached into the envelope and pulled out a blue plastic can. "It's... obviously it's monster blood. Fucking A." "Oh no," Evan wailed. "They wrote that they remembered how much fun I had with the old can," Andy said, holding up the blue container. "So when they saw this can at a toy store in Germany, Dr. Mangala's patented monster blood, they decided to send me a new one." Evan's eyes went wide with fear. You're not gonna open it?" he demanded warily. "Already did," Andy replied. "Just to take a look, but I'm not gonna use it, really. I promise." Evan started to say something, but he was interrupted by his mother's call from the kitchen.
"Dinner time, you two! Wash your hands and come up to the table!"
What voice was that? Anyway, Andy set the can of monster blood down on the desk corner. They obediently hurried to wash their hands. They had a lively dinner. There was lots to talk about. They laughed and joked about all that had happened at school. It was easy to laugh about it now that it was all over. After dinner, Evan and Andy returned to the living room. Andy was the first to see that the door to the hamster cage was wide open. The cage was empty. Evan was the one who spotted Cuddles on the desk. "Cuddles, what are you eating?" he cried. "What are you eating?" The end. Fuck, goosebumps. Oh, the expiration date? Really? And then they just leave it open for another one, but lazy, what the fuck? I feel like this is a book where, like, R.L. Stine had to catch a flight in 15 minutes, and it's like, I just need to finish this really quick, and fucking expiration date, and, for some reason, they randomly get a jar of monster blood in the mail, and the hamster just eats it again, which randomly shows up at his house the day before for no reason. What the fuck? Oh, Lucas, why'd you ask me to read this? Ugh, I don't know what's next. I just bought a shit ton of Goosebumps books. Obviously, I'll keep it going because this is my life, but... are these getting worse? What number in the series is this? Because they go to 62. This is only 18. He's phoning it in this much at 18. 62 is going to be like, fucking, there's a spooky thing in the closet, and it turns out the spooky thing's you. You didn't know that you were the one in the closet, and also aliens. Thanks a lot, fucking R.L. Stine. That was him doing coke, because he has so much money. This is Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm going to go out in a little bit and get my drink on. And whatnot. Anyway, hit me up. I'm at Dune on Twitter. There's a Facebook, Dune Reads Goosebumps. I think I'm Dune_M on Instagram, maybe. I'm around. Dune@DuneReadsGoosebumps, the email. But, you know, there's only one thing you can do for me. Say it, Scarlet. Okay, the cat won't say it. Yoda! Okay, the other cat won't. Franklin! They're all looking at me like I'm retarded. God damn it. Well, regardless, you should stay spooky, bitches.